the flaming sword, their combat was almost too bright to watch. My friends fought valiantly, but they were outnumbered 2-1. The fire giants didn't want to die. Even the one Blitzen had harpooned was still staggering around, trying to blowtorch the Inheriar with his bad breath. "We have to hurry," I said.
"Open to suggestions, kid," Blitzen said.
Fenris paced expectantly. He didn't seem concerned to see us shuffling toward him on a carpet of heather, collectively armed with an axe, a glowing white staff, an uncooperative sword, and a ball of string.
"By all means, come down," he said. "Bring that blade closer."
Blitzen huffed.
"I'll tie him up. Harth can guard me. Magnus and Sam, you two keep him from biting off my head for a few minutes."
"Terrible idea," Sam said.
"Got a better one?"
Blitz asked.
"I do."
Fenris lunged. He could have torn my throat out, but that wasn't his plan. His front paws passed on either side of my sword. Jack cheerfully cooperated, slicing the rope in half. Sam brought down her axe between the wolf's ears, but Fenris leaped out of the way. His back legs were still hobbled, but his front paws were free. The wolf's coat steamed from contact with the heather. Blisters swelled all over his legs, but he sounded too delighted to care.
"Oh, that's wonderful," he crowed. "Just the back legs now, please. Then we can get Ragnarok underway."
All the rage that had built inside me for 2 years boiled to the surface.
"Blitz," I said, "do what you need to do. I'm going to knock this mutt's teeth out."
I ran at the wolf, possibly my worst idea ever. Sam charged in next to me. Fenris might have been the size of a normal wolf, but even with his back legs hobbled, his speed and strength were impossible to match. As soon as I stepped from the edge of the heather, he became a blur of claws and teeth. I stumbled and fell, a line of deep cuts across my chest. Fenris would have torn me open if Sam's axe hadn't slammed him aside. The wolf snarled.
"You can't hurt me. The gods couldn't hurt me. Don't you think they would have slit my throat if they could have? My destiny is fixed. Until Ragnarok, I am unkillable."
"Must be nice." I stumbled to my feet.
"But it won't keep me from trying."
Unfortunately, Jack wasn't helping. Every time I tried to attack, the sword turned and swerved, doing its best to cut the rope around the wolf's back legs. My fight with the wolf was more like a game of keep away. Blitzen lunged forward, the end of Anskati tied in a noose. He tried to snare the wolf's hindquarters, but he might as well have been moving in slow motion. Fenris stepped aside, dodging another strike from Sam's axe. The wolf slashed Blitzen across the throat, and the dwarf fell face down. The string rolled away.
"No!"
I yelled. I moved toward Blitzen, but Hearthstone was faster. He slammed his staff across Fenris's skull. Golden fire blazed. The wolf clambered away, whining in pain. A rune mark now steamed on his forehead, a simple arrow seared into the gray fur.
"Tivaz?"
the wolf snarled.
"You dare attack me with the rune of Tyr?"
The wolf lunged at Hearthstone, but seemed to hit an invisible barrier. He stumbled and howled. Sam appeared next to me. Her axe was gone. Her left eye was swollen shut, and her hijab had been cut to shreds.
"Harth used the rune of sacrifice," she said, her voice quavering, "to save Blitz."
"What does that mean?" I asked. Harth collapsed to his knees,
leaning against his staff. Still, he managed to put himself between the dwarf and the wolf.
"You sacrifice your strength to shield your friend?"
The wolf laughed.
"Fine. Enjoy your spell work. The dwarf is already dead. Your own rune magic has doomed you. You can watch while I deal with my other tasty prey."
He bared his fangs at us. Across the field, the battle was not going well. One of Ganilla's Valkyries sprawled lifeless on the rocks. The other one fell, her armor burning from Surt's sword. Ganilla faced the Fire Lord alone, swinging her spear like a whip of light, but she couldn't last. Her clothes smoldered. Her shield was charred and cracked. The Inheriar were surrounded. Halfborn had lost one of his axes. He was covered with so many burns and gashes, I didn't understand how he could still be alive, but he just kept fighting, laughing as he charged the giants. Mallory was on one knee, cursing as she parried attacks from three giants at once. TJ swung his rifle wildly. Even X looked tiny compared to the enemies now looming over him. My head throbbed. I could feel my Inheri powers at work, trying to close the cuts on my chest, but I knew Fenris could kill me faster than I could possibly heal. The wolf sniffed, no doubt smelling my weakness.
"Ah, well," he chuckled. "A good try, Magnus. But the sons of Frey never were fighters. All that's left for me to do now is devour my enemies. I love this part."
Chapter 65.
I hate this part.
The strangest things can save your life, like lions, or bulletproof ascots. Fenris lunged at my face. I cleverly escaped by falling on my butt. A blurred shape launched itself at the wolf and knocked him aside. Two animals tumbled across the boneyard in a whirl of fangs and claws. When they separated, I realized Fenris was facing a she-lion with a swollen eye.
"Sam?"
I yelped.
"Get the rope!"
She kept her gaze on her enemy.
"I need to have a talk with my brother."
The fact that she could speak in lion form freaked me out even more than the fact that she had a lion form. Her lips moved in a very human way. Her eyes were the same color. Her voice was still Sam's voice. Fenris's fur stood up on the back of his neck.
"So you accept your birthright as you are about to die, little sister?"
"I accept who I am," Sam said, "but not the way you mean. I am Samira Al-Abbas, Samira of the Lion."
She leaped at the wolf. They clawed, bit, kicked, and howled. I'd heard the term fur flying, but I'd never realized what a horrific thing it could be. The two beasts literally tried to tear each other apart, and one of those beasts was a friend of mine. My first instinct was to charge into battle, but that wouldn't work. Freya had told me that killing was the least of the sword's powers.
"The sons of Frey have never been fighters," the wolf had said.
So what was I? Blitzen rolled over, groaning. Hearthstone frantically checked the dwarf's neck. The ascot glittered. Somehow, it had turned from yellow silk to woven metal, saving Blitzen's throat in the process. It was honest-to-frig bulletproof neckwear. I couldn't help grinning. Blitz was alive. He had played to his strength. He wasn't a fighter. Neither was I. But there were other ways to win a battle. I snatched up the ball of string. It felt like woven snow, impossibly soft and cold. In my other hand, the sword became still.
What are we doing?
Jack asked.
Figuring stuff out.
Oh, cool.
The blade quivered as if stretching after a nap.
How's that going?
Better.
I stabbed the end of the blade into the ground. Jack did not try to fly away.
Cert may get you someday, I said, but he doesn't understand your power. I do now. We're a team.
I looped the string's noose around Jack's hilt and pulled it tight. The battle seemed to fade around me. I stopped thinking about how to fight the wolf. He couldn't be killed, at least not now, not by me. Instead, I focused on the warmth I felt whenever I healed someone, the power of growth and life, the power of Frey. The Norns had told me 9 days ago, "The sun must go east." This place was all about night, winter, and silver moonlight. I needed to be the summer sun. Fenris Wolf noticed the change in the air. He swiped at Sam and sent her tumbling across the lawn of bones. His snout was shredded with claw marks. The rune of Tyr glistened ugly and black on his forehead.
What are you up to, Magnus? None of that!
He lunged, but before he could reach me, he fell out of the air, twisting and howling in pain. Light surrounded me. The same golden aura as when I'd healed Sam in Hearthstone in Jotunheim. It wasn't hot like the fires of Muspelheim. It wasn't particularly bright, but it obviously pained the wolf. He snarled and paced, squinting at me like I'd become a spotlight.
Stop that! He howled. Are you trying to annoy me to death?
Sam the lion struggled to her feet. She had a nasty cut on her flank. Her face looked like she'd rear-ended a tractor trailer.
Magnus, what are you doing?
Bringing the summer.
The cuts on my chest mended. My strength returned. My father was the god of light and warmth. Wolves were creatures of darkness. The power of Frey could constrain Fenris just as it constrained the extremes of fire and ice. Sticking up from the ground, Jack hummed with satisfaction.
Summer. Yeah, I remember summer.
I rolled out Anskati until it trailed Jack like a kite string. I faced the wolf.
An old dwarf once told me that the most powerful crafting materials are paradoxes. This rope is made of them. But I've got one more. The final paradox that will bind you. The Sword of Summer. A weapon that wasn't designed to be a weapon. A blade that is best used by letting go of it.
I willed Jack to fly, trusting he would do the rest. He could have sliced the last of the wolf's bonds. He could have flown across the battlefield straight into Cert's hands, but he didn't. He zipped under the wolf's belly, threading the cord Anskati around his legs faster than Fenris could react, binding him and toppling him. Fenris's howl shook the island.
No! I will not!
The sword zipped around his snout. Jack tied off the rope in an aerial pirouette, then floated back to me, his blade glowing with pride.
How'd I do, boss?
Jack, I said, you are one awesome sword.
Well, I know that, he said. But how about that rope work, huh? That's a perfect stevedore's knot right there, and I don't even have hands.
Sam stumbled toward us.
You did it! You... Ugh.
Her lion form melted into regular old Sam, badly injured, face battered, her side soaked with blood. Before she could fall, I grabbed her and dragged her away from the wolf. Even fully bound, he thrashed and frothed at the mouth. I didn't want to be any closer to him than I had to be. Hearthstone staggered after me, holding up Blitzen. The four of us fell together on a bed of heather.
Alive,
I said. I wasn't expecting that. Our moment of triumph lasted about, well, one moment. Then the sounds of battle became louder and clearer around us, as if a curtain had been ripped away. Hearthstone's shielding magic may have given us extra protection against the wolf, but it had also sealed us off from the fight with the fire giants, and my Inheriar friends weren't doing well.
"To the Valkyrie!" TJ shouted. "Hurry!"
He stumbled across the ridge, bayoneting a fire giant and trying to reach Ganilla. All this time, while we'd been dealing with the wolf, the Valkyrie captain had been holding off Surt. Now, she was on the ground, her spear held weakly above her as Surt raised his scimitar. Mallory staggered around weaponless, too far away and too bloodied to help. X was trying to dig his way out from beneath a pile of giant corpses. Halfborn Gunderson sat bloody and unmoving, his back propped against a rock. I processed this in a split second. Just as quickly, I realized Hearth, Blitz, Sam, and I wouldn't be there in time to make a difference. Nevertheless, I gripped my sword and rose. I staggered toward Ganilla. Our eyes met across the field, her last expression one of resignation and anger.
"Make it count."
The Fire Lord brought down his scimitar. Chapter 66 Sacrifices. I don't know why it broke me so badly. I didn't even like Ganilla. But when I saw Surt standing over her lifeless body, his eyes smoldering in triumph, I wanted to fall down in the pile of bones and stay there until Ragnarok. Ganilla was dead. Her lieutenants were dead. I didn't even know their names, but they'd sacrificed their lives to buy me time. Halfborn was dead or dying. The other Inheriar were not much better off. Sam and Blitz and Hearth were in no shape to fight. And Surt was still on his feet, as strong as ever, his burning sword ready. Three of his fire giants were also still alive and armed. After all we'd been through, the Fire Lord could kill me, take my sword, and cut the wolf free. Judging from the smile on his face, Surt expected to do just that.
"I am impressed," he admitted. "The wolf told me you had potential. I don't think even Fenris expected you to do this, Val."
The wolf thrashed in his new magic bonds. A few feet from the Fire Lord, TJ crouched, his bayonet ready. He glanced at me, waiting for a sign. I knew he was ready to charge one last time, distract the giants if it would help me, but I couldn't let another person die.
"Go now," I told Surt. "Go back to Muspelheim."
The Fire Lord threw back his head and laughed.
"Brave to the end. I think not, Magnus Chase. I think you will burn."
He thrust out his hand. A column of fire shot toward me. I stood my ground. I imagined being with my mom in the Blue Hills on the first day of spring, the sunlight warming my skin, gently thawing 3 months of cold and darkness out of my system. My mom turned to me, her smile luminous.
"This is where I am, Magnus. In this moment. With you."
A sense of serenity anchored me. I remembered my mom once telling me how the townhouses in Back Bay, like our family's ancestral home, had been built on landfill. Every so often, engineers had to sink new pylons beneath the foundations to keep the buildings from collapsing. I felt like I'd had my pylons reinforced. I was solid. Surt's flames rolled over me. They lost their intensity. They were nothing but ghostly flickers of warm orange, as harmless as butterflies. At my feet, the heather began to bloom, white flowers spreading across the landscape, reclaiming the trampled and burned areas where Surt's warriors had walked, soaking up the blood, covering the corpses of the fallen giants.
"The battle is over," I announced. "I consecrate this ground in the name of Frey."
The words sent a shockwave in every direction. Swords, daggers, and axes flew from the fire giant's hands. TJ's rifle spun from his grasp. Even the weapons lying on the ground were expelled from the island, blasted into the darkness like shrapnel. The only one left holding a weapon was me. Without his flaming scimitar, Surt didn't look so confident.
"Tricks and childish magic," he snarled. "You cannot defeat me, Magnus Chase. That sword will be mine."
"Not today."
I threw the blade. It spiraled toward Surt, passing over the giant's head. Surt grabbed for it and missed.
"What was that?"
The giant laughed.
"An attack?"
"No," I said. "That was your exit."
Behind Surt, Jack slashed the air, ripping the fabric between the worlds. A zigzag of fire burned on the ridge. My ears popped. As if someone had shot out the window in an airplane's pressurized cabin, Surt and the other fire giants were sucked screaming into the rift, which closed behind them.
"Bye,"
Jack called.
"Catch you later."
Except for the outraged snarling of the wolf, the island was silent. I stumbled across the field. I fell to my knees in front of Ganilla. I could tell immediately that the Valkyrie captain was gone. Her blue eyes stared into the dark. Her bandolier was empty of hammers. Her white spear lay broken across her chest. My eyes stung. "I'm sorry." For 500 years, she'd been in Valhalla, collecting the souls of the dead, preparing for the final battle. I remembered how she'd scolded me. "Even gazing upon Asgard, you have no sense of reverence." In death, her face seemed full of wonder and awe. I hoped she was gazing upon Asgard the way she wanted it to be, filled with Aesir, all the lights burning in her father's mansion.
"Magnus," called TJ, "we have to go."
He and Mallory were struggling to carry Halfborn Gunderson. X had managed to dig his way out from under the fire giant corpse pile and was now carrying the two other fallen Valkyries. Blitz and Hearthstone stumbled along together, Sam close behind. I picked up the body of the Valkyrie captain. She was not light, and my strength was fading again.
"We have to hurry."
TJ spoke as gently as he could, but I heard the urgency in his tone. The ground was shifting under my feet. I realized my glowing aura had done more than blind the wolf. The sunlight had affected the texture of the island. The island was supposed to disappear at dawn. My magic had hastened the process, causing the ground to dissolve into spongy mist.
"Only seconds," Sam gasped. "Go!"
The last thing I felt capable of was a burst of speed, but somehow, carrying Ganilla, I followed TJ as he led the way to the shore. Chapter 67. One more, for a friend.
"We've got a Frey boat!"
yelled TJ. I had no idea what a Frey boat was. I didn't see any boat on the beach, but I was too stunned and exhausted to ask questions. I felt like the extremes of heat and cold I'd tolerated my entire life were now taking revenge. My forehead burned with fever. My eyes felt close to boiling. My chest felt like a block of ice. I plodded along. The ground became softer under my feet. The beach sank. The waves rushed in. My arm muscles screamed under the weight of the Valkyrie captain. I started veering sideways. Sam grabbed my arm.
Just a little farther, Magnus. Stay with me.
We got to the beach. TJ pulled out a piece of cloth, like a handkerchief, and tossed it into the surf. Immediately the cloth expanded, unfolding. By the count of 10, a full-size Viking warship bobbed in the surf with 2 oversized oars, a masthead carved like a wild boar, and a green sail emblazoned with the Hotel Valhalla logo. Along the side of the prow, lettered in white, were the words, Hotel Valhalla Courtesy Vehicle.
In!
TJ jumped aboard first and reached out to take Gunilla from me. The wet sand pulled at my feet, but somehow I managed to get over the rail. Sam made sure everyone else got in safely. Then she climbed aboard. A deep hum reverberated across the island, like a bass amp turned to maximum. The Isle of Heather sank beneath the black waves. The ship's sail tacked by itself. The oars began to row, and the ship turned west. Blitzen and Hearthstone collapsed at the bow. They started arguing with each other about which of them had taken the stupider risks, but they were so tired, the debate deteriorated into a half-hearted poking contest, like a couple of second graders. Sam knelt next to Gunilla. She folded the Valkyrie captain's arms across her chest and gently closed Ganilla's blue eyes.
The others? I asked.
X lowered his head. He had set the 2 Valkyries in the stern, but it was clear they were gone. He folded their arms like Ganilla's.
Brave warriors.
He touched their foreheads with tenderness.
I didn't know them, I said. Margaret and Irene.
Sam's voice was unsteady.
They never liked me much, but good Valkyries.
Magnus! TJ called from amidships. We need you!
He and Mallory were kneeling next to Halfborn Gunderson, whose berserker strength had finally failed him. His chest was a nightmarish patchwork of cuts and burns. His left arm hung at an unnatural angle. His beard and hair were sprinkled with blood and small bits of heather.
Good fight, he wheezed.
Don't talk, you big idiot, Mallory sobbed. How dare you get yourself hurt like this?
He grinned sleepily.
Sorry, Mother.
Hang in there, TJ said. We can get you back to Valhalla. Then if anything happens, you can be reborn.
I put my hand on Halfborn's shoulder. I sensed damage so severe, I almost pulled away. It was like forcing myself to explore a bowl of glass shards.
There's no time, I said. We're losing him.
Mallory choked on tears.
Not an option. No. Halfborn Gunderson, I hate you so much.
He coughed. Blood flecked his lips.
I hate you too, Mallory Keane.
Hold him still, I said. I'll do what I can. Kid, think about this, Blit said. You're already weak.
I have to. I extended my senses, taking in Halfborn's broken bones, his internal bleeding, his bruised organs. Fear washed over me. It was too much, too close to death. I needed help.
Jack!
I called. The sword hovered to my side.
Boss?
Halfborn is dying. I'll need your strength to help heal him. You can do that? The sword hummed nervously.
Yeah, but boss, the second you take hold of me...
I know. I'll be even more exhausted.
It's not just binding the wolf, Jack warned. I also helped with the aura of golden light, which was pretty cool if I do say so myself. And then there was the piece of Frey.
The piece. I realized he meant the shockwave that had disarmed everyone, but I didn't have time to worry about that.
Fine. Yes, we have to act now.
I grabbed the sword. My eyesight dimmed. If I hadn't been sitting already, I would have fallen down. I fought against the nausea and dizziness and placed the sword flat against Halfborn's chest. Warmth flooded through me. Light turned Halfborn's beard to red gold. I sent the last of my strength coursing through his veins, repairing damage, closing ruptures. The next thing I remember, I was lying face up on the deck, staring at a green sail rippling in the wind as my friends shook me and shouted my name. Then, I was standing in a sunlit meadow at the edge of a lake with blue sky above me. A warm breeze ruffled my hair. Somewhere behind me, a man's voice said, "Welcome."
Chapter 68. Don't be a no-bro, bro. He looked like a Hollywood Viking. He looked more like Thor from the movies than Thor did. Blonde hair fell to his shoulders. His tan face, blue eyes, hawkish nose, and stubbly beard would have worked equally well on the red carpet or the beaches of Malibu. He reclined on a throne of living tree branches, the seat draped with deer hide. Across his lap lay a sort of scepter, a stag's antler fitted with a leather grip. When he smiled, I saw my own self-conscious smirk, the same crooked chin. He even had the same cowlick I always got above my right ear. I understood why my mom would have fallen in love with him. It wasn't just because he was handsome, or because his faded jeans, flannel shirt, and hiking boots were exactly her style. He radiated warmth and tranquility. Every time I'd healed someone, every time I'd called on the power of Frey, I'd captured a fragment of this guy's aura.
"Dad," I said.
"Magnus."
Frey rose. His eyes twinkled, but he didn't seem sure what to do with his arms.
"I'm so glad to see you at last. I'd give you a hug, but I imagine that would not be welcome. I understand you need more time."
I charged in and gave him a bear hug. That wasn't like me. I'm not a hugger, especially not with strangers. But he wasn't a stranger. I knew him as well as I knew my mother. For the first time, I understood why my mom had been so insistent on taking me hiking and camping. Every time we were in the woods on a summer day, every time the sun came out from behind the clouds, Frey had been there. Maybe I should have resented him, but I didn't. After losing my mother, I didn't have patience for grudges. My years on the street had taught me that it was pointless to whine and moan about what you could have had, what you deserved, what was fair. I was just happy to have this moment. He cupped his hand gently on the back of my head. He smelled of campfire smoke, pine needles, and toasted s'mores.
Did they have s'mores in Vanaheim?
It occurred to me why I must be here. I was dead, or at least dying again. I pulled away.
"My friends
are safe," Frey assured me. "You pushed yourself to the verge of death healing the berserker, but he will live. So will you. You have done well, Magnus."
His praise made me uncomfortable.
"Three Valkyries died. I almost lost every friend I had. All I did was bind the wolf with a new rope and send Surt back to Muspelheim, and Jack did all that work. It doesn't really change anything."
Frey laughed.
"Magnus, you have changed everything. You, the wielder of the sword,
are shaping the destiny of the nine worlds. As for the deaths of the Valkyries, that was a sacrifice they willingly made. Do not dishonor them by feeling guilt. You cannot prevent every death, any more than I can prevent each summer from becoming autumn, or any more than I can prevent my own fate at Ragnarok. Your fate. I closed my fingers around the runestone, now back on its chain. I have your sword. Couldn't you? Frey shook his head.
No, son. As your Aunt Freya told you, I can never wield the Sword of Summer again. Ask the sword if you want to be sure.
I pulled off the pendant. Jack sprang to life, spewing a tirade of insults I can't really repeat.
And another thing, he yelled. Giving me away so you could marry a giantess? Dude, what was that? Blades before babes, you know what I'm saying?
Frey smiled sadly. Hello, old friend.
Oh, we're friends again?
The sword demanded.
Nah, nuh-uh, we're done.
Jack paused.
Your son's okay, though. I like him. As long as he's not planning to trade me for a giantess's hand in marriage.
That's not on my to-do list, I promised.
Then we're cool. But as for this sorry father of yours, this traitorous no-bro...
I willed the sword back to pendant form. No-bro? Frey shrugged.
I made my choice long ago. I surrendered the blade for the sake of love.
But on Ragnarok, you'll die because you don't have it. He held up the deer antler.
I will fight with this.
An animal horn?
Knowing your fate is one thing. Accepting it is another. I will do my duty. With this antler, I will slay many giants, even Beli, one of their great generals. But you're right. It won't be enough to bring down Surt. In the end, I will die.
How can you be so calm about it?
Magnus, even gods can't last forever. I don't expend my energy trying to fight the change of seasons. I focus on making sure the days I have and the season I oversee are as joyful, rich, and plentiful as possible.
He touched my face.
But you already understand this. No child of Thor or Odin or even noble Tyr could have withstood Hel's promises, Loki's silver words. You did. Only a son of Frey, with the Sword of Summer, could choose to let go as you did.
Letting go. My mom.
Yes.
Frey retrieved something from his throne, a sealed ceramic jar, about the size of a heart. He placed it in my hands.
You know what she would want?
I couldn't speak. I nodded, hoping my expression told Frey how grateful I was.
You, my son, will bring hope to the nine worlds. You have heard the term Indian summer? You will be our last such season, a chance for warmth, light, and growth before the long winter of Ragnarok.
But, I cleared my throat,
but no pressure.
Frey flashed his brilliant white teeth.
Exactly. Much needs to be done. The Aesir and Vanir are scattered. Loki grows stronger. Even in his bonds, he has played us against each other, distracted us, made us lose focus. I am guilty of becoming distracted as well. For too long I have been removed from the world of men. Only your mother managed to...
He focused on the jar in my hands.
Well, after my big speech about not holding on to the past...
He smiled ruefully.
She was a vibrant soul.
She would be proud of you. Dad, I wasn't sure what else to say. Maybe I just wanted to try out the word again. I'd never had much experience using it. I don't know if I'm up to this. From the pocket of his flannel shirt, he pulled a tattered piece of paper, the missing flyer Annabeth and her dad had been distributing on the day I died. Frey handed it to me.
You will not be alone. For now, rest, my son. I promise it won't be another 16 years before we meet again. In the meantime, you should call your cousin. You should talk. You will need her help before all is said and done.
That sounded ominous, but I didn't get the chance to ask about it. I blinked, and Frey was gone. I was sitting in the longship again, holding the flyer in the ceramic jar. Next to me sat Halfborn Gunderson, sipping from a cup of mead.
Well.
He gave me a bloody grin. Most of his wounds had faded to scar tissue.
I owe you my life. How about I buy you dinner?
I blinked and looked around us. Our ship had docked in Valhalla, on one of the rivers that ran through the lobby. How we'd gotten there, I had no idea. My other friends stood on the wharf, speaking with Helgi, the hotel manager. Grim faces all around as they regarded the offloaded bodies of the three dead Valkyries. What's going on? I asked. Halfborn drained his cup.
We've been summoned to the feast hall to explain ourselves before the Thanes and the host of Enherjar. I hope they let us eat before they kill us again. I'm starving.
Chapter 69. Oh, so that's who Fenris smelled in Chapter 63. We must have lost an entire day returning to Valhalla, because dinner was underway in the feast hall of the slain. Valkyries flew around with mead pitchers. Enherjar threw bread and roasted Sirimnir at each other. Clusters of musicians jammed out all over the room. The fiesta slowly quieted as our procession made its way toward the Thane's table. An honor guard of Valkyries carried the bodies of Gunilla, Irene, and Margaret, covered with white linen, on stretchers. I had hoped the fallen might come back to life when they reached Valhalla. Couldn't Valkyries become Enherjar? But it didn't happen. Mallory, X, TJ, and Halfborn followed the litters. Sam, Blitzen, Hearth, and I brought up the caboose. Warriors glared at us as we passed. The Valkyries' expressions were even worse. I was surprised we weren't killed before we reached the Thanes. I suppose the crowd wanted to see us publicly humiliated. They didn't know what we'd done. They just knew we were escaped rogues brought back for judgment, following the bodies of three Valkyries. We weren't shackled, but I still shuffled along as if the rope Anskati was wrapped around my ankles. I cradled the ceramic jar in the crook of my arm. Whatever else happened, I couldn't lose that. We stopped in front of the Thane's table. Eric, Helgi, Leif, and all the other Erics looked grim. Even my old buddy Hunding the Bellhop stared at me with shock and disappointment, as if I'd taken away his chocolate. Helgi finally spoke. Explain! I saw no reason to hold anything back. I didn't speak loudly, but my words echoed through the hall. When I got to the fight with Fenris, my voice failed me. Sam picked up the story. When she was done, the Thanes sat silently. I couldn't read their mood. Perhaps they were more unsure now than angry, but it didn't matter. Despite my talk with my father, I didn't feel proud of what we'd accomplished. I was only alive because the three Valkyries in front of me had kept the fire giants at bay while we chained the wolf. No punishment from the Thanes could make me feel worse than that. Finally, Helgi rose. This is the most serious matter to come before this table in many years.
If you speak truly, you have done deeds worthy of warriors. You have stopped Fenris Wolf from breaking free. You have sent Surt back to Muspelheim. But you acted as rogues, without the leave of the Thanes, and in questionable company. He glanced distastefully at Harth, Blitz, and Sam. Loyalty, Magnus Chase. Loyalty to Valhalla is everything. The Thanes must discuss all this in private before passing judgment, unless Odin wishes to intercede. He glanced at the vacant wooden throne, which of course stayed empty. Perched on the backrest, the ravens fixed me with their glittering black eyes. Very well, Helgi sighed. We... To my left, a booming voice said,
Odin wishes to intercede.
Nervous murmurs rippled through the feast hall. X raised his stone-gray face toward the Thanes. X, TJ whispered, this is no time for jokes.
Odin wishes to intercede,
said the half-troll stubbornly. His appearance changed. His huge trollish shape dropped away like camouflage fabric. In X's place stood a man who looked like a retired drill sergeant. He was barrel-chested, with massive arms stuffed in a short-sleeve Hotel Valhalla polo shirt. His gray hair was close-cropped, his beard cut square to accentuate his hardened, weathered face. A black patch covered his left eye. His right eye was dark blue, the color of vein blood. At his side hung a sword so massive it made Jack the Pendant tremble on his chain. The man's name tag read, Odin, Allfather, Owner and Founder.
Odin!
Sam dropped to one knee. The god smiled down at her. Then he gave me what I thought was a conspiratorial wink, though it was hard to tell since he only had one eye. His name rippled through the feast hall. The Inheriar got to their feet. The Thanes rose and bowed deeply. Odin, formerly the half-troll known as X, marched around the table and took his place on the throne. The two ravens landed on his shoulders and pecked affectionately at his ears.
Well?
Odin's voice boomed.
What does a god have to do to get a cup of mead around here?
Chapter 70. We are subjected to the PowerPoint of doom. Odin got his drink, offered some toasts, then began pacing in front of his throne, talking about where he'd been and what he'd been doing the past few decades. I was too shocked to register much of Odin's speech. I think most of the Inheriar felt the same way. The room only began to unfreeze when Odin summoned up the glowing Valkyrie vision screens. Inheriar blinked and stirred, as if coming out of mass hypnosis.
I am a seeker of knowledge, Odin announced. This has always been true. I hung from the World Tree for 9 days and nights, racked with pain, in order to discover the secret of runes. I stood in line in a blizzard for 6 days to discover the sorcery of the smartphone.
What? I muttered. Blitzen coughed.
Just roll with it.
And more recently, Odin announced, I endured 7 weeks of motivational speaker training at a hotel in Peoria to discover this.
A clicker appeared in his hand. On all the magical screens, a PowerPoint title slide glowed with a whirling emblem that read, Odin's Plan, How to Have a Highly Successful Afterlife.
What is going on? I whispered to Sam.
Odin is always trying different things, she said. Looking in new places for knowledge. He is very wise, but...
Hearthstone signed as discreetly as possible.
This is why I work for Mimir.
So you see,
Odin continued, pacing back and forth, his ravens flapping their wings for balance.
Everything these heroes have done, they did with my knowledge and my permission. I have been with them the entire time, either in person or in spirit.
The screen changed. Odin started lecturing through some bullet points. My eyes kind of glazed over, but he talked about why he'd hidden in Valhalla as X the half-troll.
To see how you would welcome such a warrior, and how you would carry out your duties when you didn't think I was around. You all need to work on your positive empowerment and self-actualization.
He explained why he'd chosen Samir Alabis as a Valkyrie.
If the daughter of Loki can show such bravery, why can't we all? Samira demonstrates the 7 heroic qualities I'll be highlighting in my upcoming book, 7 Heroic Qualities, which will be available in the Valhalla gift shop.
He explained why the Norn's prophecy didn't mean what we thought it did.
Wrongly chosen, wrongly slain, he recited. Magnus Chase was wrongly chosen by Loki, who thought this boy could be easily influenced. Instead, Magnus Chase proved himself a true hero.
Despite the compliment, I liked Odin better as a taciturn half-troll than as a motivational speaker. The dinner crowd didn't seem sure what to make of him either, though some of the thanes were dutifully taking notes.
Which brings us to the affirmations portion of this presentation.
Odin advanced his slideshow. A photograph of Blitzen popped up. It had obviously been taken during the crafting contest with Junior. Sweat streamed down Blitzen's face. His expression was agonized, as if somebody had just dropped a hammer on his foot.
Blitzen, son of Freya, Odin said. This noble dwarf won the rope Anskoti, which rebound Fenris Wolf. He followed his heart, mastered his fears, and served my old friend Mimir faithfully. For your heroism, Blitzen, you shall be released from Mimir's service and given funding to open the shop you have always wanted. Because, I have to say...
Odin waved his hand over his hotel polo shirt. Suddenly, he was wearing a chainmail vest.
I picked up your prototype after the contest, and it's a very fine fashion statement. Any warrior would be wise to acquire one.
The Inherjar murmured in approval, some awed and awed. Blitzen bowed deeply.
Thank you, Lord Odin. I can't begin to... Could I use that endorsement for my product line?
Odin smiled benevolently.
Of course. And next, we have Hearthstone the Elf.
Hearth's photo appeared on the screens. He was slumped in the window of Geralt's palace. He had a silly grin on his face. His hands were making the sign for washing machine.
This noble creature risked everything to rediscover rune magic. He is the first true sorcerer to appear from the mortal realms in centuries. Without him, the quest to restrain the wolf would have failed many times over.
Odin beamed down at the elf.
My friend, you also shall be released from Mimir's service. I will personally bring you to Asgard, where I will teach you the runes in a 90-minute, one-on-one free tutoring session, accompanied by a DVD and signed copy of my book, Rune Magic with the Allfather.
Polite clapping. Hearthstone looked stunned. He managed to sign, "Thank you." The screen changed. In Sam's photo, she was standing nervously at the counter of Fodlan's falafel, her face turned aside, blushing furiously as Amir leaned toward her, grinning.
"Ooh,"
said the crowd of Inherjar, followed by a fair amount of snickering.
"Kill me now," Sam muttered. "Please."
Samira Al Albus, Odin said. I personally chose you to be a Valkyrie because of your courage, your resilience, your potential greatness. Many here mistrusted you, but you rose to the challenge. You followed my orders. You did your duty even when you were reviled and exiled. To you, I give a choice.
Odin regarded the fallen Valkyries who lay before the Thane's table. He allowed a respectful silence to fall across the room.
Gunilla, Margaret, Irene, all knew the risks of being a Valkyrie. All gave their lives to make today's victory possible. In the end, they saw your true worth, and they fought at your side. I believe they would agree you should be reinstated as a Valkyrie.
Sam's knees almost gave out. She had to lean on Mallory Keane for support.
I offer you a choice of jobs, Odin continued. I need a captain for my Valkyries. I can think of no one better than you. This would allow you more time to spend in the mortal world, perhaps a chance to rest after your harrowing quest. Or,
his blue eye gleamed,
you could choose a much more dangerous assignment, working directly for me as the need arises on other, shall we say, high-risk, high-reward missions.
Sam bowed.
All-Father, you honor me. I could never replace Gunilla. All I ask for is the chance to prove myself, as many times as necessary, until no one here has any doubt of my loyalties to Valhalla. I will take the more dangerous assignment. Command me, and I will not fail.
This went down pretty well with the crowd. The Inherjar applauded. Some shouted approval. Even the other Valkyries regarded Sam with less hostile expressions.
Very well, Odin said. Once again, Samira, you prove your wisdom. We will speak later of your duties. And now, Magnus Chase.
The screens changed. There I was, frozen, mid-scream as I fell from the Longfellow Bridge.
Son of Frey, you retrieved the Sword of Summer. You kept it from the grip of Surt. You have proven yourself, well, perhaps not a great warrior.
Thanks, I muttered.
But certainly a great Inherjee. I think we are in agreement, all of us here at the Thane's table, that you, too, deserve a reward.
Odin glanced to his left and right. The Thane stirred, hastily muttering,
Yes, absolutely.
I do not offer this lightly, Odin said. But if you still feel that Valhalla is not your place, I will send you to Folkvanger, where your aunt holds court. As a child of the Vanir, perhaps that would be more to your liking. Or,
his blue eye seemed to pierce right through me,
if you wish, I will even allow you to return to the mortal world and be released from your duties as an Inherjee.
The room filled with murmuring and tension. From the faces of the crowd, I could tell this was an unusual offer. Odin was taking a risk. If he set a precedent of letting Inherjar return to the world, wouldn't others want to go too? I looked at Sam and Blitzen and Hearthstone. I looked at my hallmates from Floor 19, TJ, Halfborn, Mallory. For the first time in years, I didn't feel homeless. I bowed to Odin.
Thank you, All-Father.
But wherever these friends of mine are, that's my home. I am one of the Inherjar. I am one of your warriors. That is reward enough.
The whole dining hall erupted in cheering. Goblets banged on tables, Swords clattered against shields. My friends surrounded me, hugging me and clapping me on the shoulders. Mallory kissed my cheek and said,